Cluniacs emphasized, in addition to all of this spiritual rejuvenation, the superiority of the spiritual over the secular authority. And they also advanced a vision of a pristine Christianity that went back to the great popes, Leo I, or Gregory the Great. It was the Cluniacs who in many ways sponsored the notion that papal elections should be free and out of the control of the empress. And the turning point came in the pontificate of Leo IX in 1049. Himself from Lorraine, himself very deeply influenced by Cluniac ideals, a very good friend of the then reigning Holy Roman Emperor, Henry III. But Leo IX was the first of what are known as the reformist popes, the popes committed to this vision, who began to carry out important reforms in the College of Cardinals, began appointing men who increasingly came to stress this position, that the two authorities need to be separated, that the lay should not interfere with the spiritual. And over the course of the 11th century, a series of remarkable popes came to the throne who advanced this ideal. There were reforms in the College of Cardinals. By the time of Pope Nicholas II, the law had been passed that only the cardinals effectively could vote for the pope. Of course, the imperial consent was required, but the precedent established at the Council of Sutri was not going to determine the election of popes thereafter. Now, this vision that emerged in Rome and is traced back to Cluny, of course, clashed immediately with a number of the aspects of the administration of the Holy Roman Empire. And this became quite evident increasingly over the 11th century. And it really came to a head in the reign of the Holy Roman Emperor Henry IV and his contemporary Pope Gregory VII, formerly Cardinal Hildebrand. Gregory VII, who was a rather irascible character in some ways, was a powerful thinker. One of his favorite exercises was the composition of the Dictatus Papae, where he would have scribes read different precedents in Roman law and early Christian literature about the supremacy of the pope, and therefore had him collect it and put in a book which said that, you know, the pope was supreme and the emperor was subordinate. It was in Gregory's pontificate where the famous, or perhaps infamous, document, the so-called Donation of Constantine, was actually advanced. It had been forged a couple hundred years earlier in France, but it was advanced as a justification that Constantine had given domain of the Western Empire to the Pope. Now, these claims were possible to advance by Gregory and his immediate predecessors because Henry IV came to the throne and was a minor. His mom, Agnes, essentially administered a very complicated and weak regency, and the court in Germany was really in no position to protest over this. But when Henry attained his majority, a clash was bound to occur. Gregory, who was elected in 1073, immediately had notions of advancing these reformist ideas of not only freeing the papacy from secular control, but also asserting its moral and political supremacy over the Western emperor. Gregory also planned notions of, for instance, helping the Byzantines with apparently what looks like the first serious effort of a crusade. Although that never came to pass because war erupted between Henry and Gregory. And to a large extent, this war probably could have, well, it was fought over a very specific issue, and that issue could probably have been easily resolved, but I think behind it was this wider issue of spiritual and secular authority. What precipitated the war was who had the right to invest bishops, and hence it's known as the investiture controversy. And the first round of this controversy is really solved in 1122 at the between Calixtus II and Henry V. And what they do is they arrange a deal where the bishops get their temporal authority from the emperor, but their spiritual authority is designated from Rome. And certainly some type of compromise could have been worked out back in the 1070s. However, this dispute actually had a wider issue behind it, and that was what were the role of prelates in Western Europe? What was the role of a secular king or emperor vis-a-vis these prelates? And what was the position of the pope over the whole of the Western Church and the prelates who represented him? Well, Gregory insisted that the emperor had no right to invest these bishops. This was technically and completely in the power of Rome. Henry, of course, rejected this. When he rejected this and war erupted, Gregory promptly excommunicated him.